on how to live a worry-free life. How to live a worry-free life. Wouldn't it be nice never to worry, have to worry again? Is that even possible? Well, I want to give you some tools that's going to help you in life. So let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer, but in your mind, what is your greatest concern right now? There's nothing that can steal our joy quicker than worry. Not to stress you, but I've heard a lot of rumors that there will come a time in the near future when there will not be any more Social Security. Okay? You've probably heard those rumors. Others say that the stock market is going to crash. And it probably will at some time. Something that affects all of us, our food costs seem to be rising on a weekly basis, and it's exceeding what our income, as well as housing. Housing is a horrible issue here in Tillamook. It's hard to find good, cost-effective housing. The national debt continues to increase. Somebody's going to have to pay for that eventually. Okay? Thank you, Josiah. The catastrophic hurricanes, fires, floods have caused billions of dollars in damage. And the question is, how are we going to provide for all the needs in our nation, much less the needs of other nations? It appears we have North Korea clamoring for war. There's chaos and killings on the street. There's riots everywhere, springing up all over our country. And the prediction is things are just going to get worse. Are you worried yet? There's a lot to be worried about if you choose to worry. Did you know that worry is a choice? Did you know that you could choose to worry or not? Some of you, that may be a new idea and a new thought for you, that worry is a choice. You can choose to worry about your finances. You can choose to worry about your future. You can choose to worry about your family. You can choose to worry about anything you desire to worry about. Not long after I became a Christian, I came across a passage of Scripture that transformed my life. It became one of my life verses. And I suppose it was really one of the first Scriptures that really spoke to me. And what was taking place, Cynthia and I had moved to Southwest Portland. In 1978, I didn't have a job. We had been married for a month, and I was searching through Scripture and just reading God's Word, and a passage of Scripture jumped out at me as I was reading that about 38 years ago. And as I've tried to uphold my end of what this Scripture says, the Lord has always been faithful to hold up His end. The passage of Scripture I'm referring to is Matthew 6, 33 and 34. This passage of Scripture says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own problems." Okay? So, there's a promise here. If we do one thing, our worries can just be vanished. If we just do one thing, we will never have to worry about anything ever again. And when I was going through that difficult time in my life, I said, Lord, I want this in my life. I don't want to have to worry about whether I'm going to have a meal on the table. I don't want to have to worry about whether I have gas in the car or whether I can pay my car note. I mean, at that time, I was making about $50 a week. I was working at a church, a small church, and they were paying me $50 a week to do the music and youth, and I didn't have a job outside that. So we're looking at $200 a month to pay a car note, to provide food, insurance, and bills. And somehow, through all that time, we never missed a meal unless I chose to. And I didn't choose to miss very many. God always supplied our needs. I never went on food stamps. God was my supply. And I'm not saying that to brag on me. I'm saying this to brag on God. So here's what we have to do in order to live a worry-free life. Number one is we need to put first things first. Put first things first. I want to ask you a question. And again, you don't have to answer me out loud. What is first place in your life? What's your goal in life? Where are you headed? Some of you have a 10-year plan, maybe a 20-year plan, maybe a 30-year plan. Some of you have a retirement plan, and all of that is good. But if Jesus isn't in the middle of that plan, you're not going to have a stress-free life. Okay? Some of you, you're just putting one foot in front of the other, and you're going to find out where you wind up at the end of your journey. Hopefully, things go well for you, but that's generally not the best plan. What drives you? Where are you headed? If Jesus isn't the answer to those questions, then He isn't first in your life. There are many things that vie for our affection. So who or what is first in your life? So, there's some things I began putting into practice to make Jesus first in my life. Number one, put Jesus first in your day. Put Jesus first in your day. Every day, wake up, acknowledge Him. Every day, wake up, get into the Word. Every day, let Him be the center focus, the first focus of your morning. Adrian Rogers, I don't know if you know him, he was called the Prince of Preachers. He's an outstanding preacher, and this is what he did, and I've begun to put this in my life as well. He said he's setting the pace, he's pacing himself with the Lord, and he used pace as an acrostic. P is that he begins his morning with praise. Good morning, Lord. I praise You. I honor You. I magnify Your holy name. I glorify You. And that's what I want to do today, is I glorify You. And so begin your morning with praise. Some people say, good morning, Lord. Others say, good Lord, it's morning. We need to praise the Lord. When we first open our eyes, we need to praise the Lord. The A is abide. We've been teaching the God zone, how to abide in Christ, how to stay in connection with Him. And so pray, Lord, I want to abide in You today. Did you know that you really can't do that unless God helps you with that? It's not a you thing, it's a us thing. It's a Him and you thing. He's the one that helps you to abide. So talk to Him about abiding in Him. And then the C stands for control. Lord, I want You to control my life today. I surrender to Your will. I surrender to Your ways. I surrender my life to You, and I want to go where You want me to go. I want to do what You want me to do. And so, Lord, I'm just surrendering myself to You. Give Him control of your life. And the last one, E, is expect. Expect God to do His part. David said this, I pray to the Lord and then I wait with expectation. I'm waiting for You, Lord, to fulfill my request. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Lord wants you to praise Him? To abide in Him? To be controlled by Him? He probably desires that more than you do. And so if you're praying that, I guarantee you God's going to do His part. And He will remind you of that prayer as you move throughout your day. So, put God, make Him the first thought in the morning. The second thing, make Him first in your week. We don't worship on the Saturday. The Jews worshiped on Saturday. That's the last day of the week. It's called the Sabbath. We worship on the first day of the week. And the reason we worship on the first day of the week is because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit descended upon the 120 on the day of Pentecost on the first day of the week. When Jesus assembled, the disciples were assembled and Jesus came before them, it was on the first day of the week. And so we see throughout Scripture, throughout the New Testament, the believers were meeting on the first day of the week. And we need to make Jesus first in our week. We need to put Him first. If you want to have a worry-free life, a life free from worry, one of the things you need to do is make Jesus first in your week. So I want to ask you a question. What is your priority on the first day of the week? We know the right answer, but you need to know in your heart, what is your priority on the first day of the week? So for some people, it's football games. For some people, it's hunting. For some people, it's fishing. For some people, it's cooking a big meal. What is your first priority? What is your priority on the first day of the week? Some people said, well, I don't come to church because it's not my only time I get to spend with my family. There's two problems with that. One is, most of the people who say that don't spend that time with their family. And the second problem is, what better place can you bring your family than to church? There was a time when our culture respected Sundays. And they wouldn't have ball games on Sundays. And they wouldn't have little league ball games. They wouldn't have other games going on Sundays. And now our culture just said, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Let's just do our thing and then everybody will come on board. And over time, Christians have begun to put ball games in front of church. So I want to ask you a question. What are you teaching your children when you do that? I'm not trying to be legalistic. I hate legalism. Okay, I really hate legalism. But we need to pay attention to what we're teaching our children, because if we teach them that ball games are more important than the Lord, and putting ball games first rather than the Lord first, then they're going to grow up with that attitude, and then they're going to teach their children something even further out than what that is. Okay? And again, I'm not trying to be legalistic, and I'm not trying to cause you to fall under judgment. All I'm saying is, if you want to live a worry-free life, you need to put Jesus first. Okay? You need to put Jesus first. You need to put Him first in your thought life, first thing in the morning. You need to put Him first on the first day of the week. And you need to put Him first in your finances. Okay? You need to put Him first in your finances. Put Him first in your giving. When I, as I was sharing with you, when we were making $50 a week, I determined I was going to give God $10 every week. I know the Jewish law said you're supposed to give 10%, but I decided, you know what? We're not under the law anymore. We don't have to give. Okay? But there's a financial principle that God teaches, and the financial principle is the more you give, the more you get. Well, I needed more. Okay? I needed more. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give more because I need more. And guess what? God always supplied, always supplied, always provided, always met our needs. Always. Always. And He hasn't failed us yet. There are some times, I'll be honest with you, I still choose to worry. But I don't have to. Because God promises that if I put Him first, then He's going to meet my needs. Now, I can bite my nails, and I can pull my hair, and I can bang my head against the wall if I want to. But because I put Him first, He's going to meet my needs. Okay? He's gonna. That's His promise. Titus 1:2 says that God cannot lie. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. Okay? So, if you believe God, then you can trust Him to do what He says. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So, he says, regarding finances, to give Him the first fruits. Don't give Him the leftovers. Give Him the first fruits. Don't give Him the scraps. Give Him the first fruits. So what we would do, the first check I would write out would be to the church. Because I want, if there was, I'm going to do without something perhaps. I may not get to take my wife out to dinner. I may not get to go to the movies. I may not take her out. You know, there's some things I may not be able to do if I put Him first with my finances. But I know this, if I do what He asked me to do, all of my needs will be met. That's a promise. And if you need to read that, that's in the beginning part of Matthew chapter 6. Okay? He said that I'm watching the birds, they're going to the ground, they're eating. Who do you think provides for them? Don't you think you're better, you're more valuable than the birds? He said, I clothe the flowers of the field. Look how beautiful their clothing is. Don't you think you're more valuable than the clothes? Than the flowers? He said, you need to put me first, put me first, put me first. Another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper. let's not give God our scraps. Let's give Him our first. Let's give Him our best. Let's just say that I invited you over to our house one day, and Cynthia had made this beautiful cake. And we ate the cake. There was a few crumbs left, and we decided that that's what you should have is the crumbs. You can't have the part of the cake, you can just have the crumbs. How would you feel? Yeah. Bummed out? Yeah. Kind of sad. Like, man, you didn't think any more about me than just giving me the crumbs? That would be kind of a sad thing. And I wonder sometimes how the Lord feels when we just give Him the scraps. The crumbs. Number two. When we put God first, there's nothing to worry about. When we put God first, there's nothing to worry about. Now, like I said, we can choose to worry if we want to. You know what? Sometimes we make financial mistakes, don't we? Maybe I just speak for myself. Sometimes we make some financial mistakes and we spend things we shouldn't have spent on, and it's like, oh no, but so, you know what? Somehow God takes care of us when we're putting Him first, when we make Him first. A lot of times, this passage of Scripture says that we don't have to worry about anything when we put God first. So the things that we worry about most are the things we can't control. Can you control the weather? Apparently not. But many people worry about the weather. Can you control the problems in our nation? But many times people are worrying about that. Can you control your children? You can try to. Jacob said it. The only thing we can control is ourselves. Did you teach him that, Todd? No? That's the only... Boy, you're a wise kid. The only one we can control is ourselves. Children, can you control your parents? You can? Noah can. They might disagree. The only one we can control is ourselves. Another thing we worry about is our future. Ask you a question. Do you think God knows the future? We worry about next month. We worry about next year. We worry about retirement. We worry about all of that stuff. I want to ask you a question. Do you think God's going to be in the future? So when you're projecting into the future, is God there? In your projection, do you put God in the midst of that? And do you think that He has an answer for whatever problem you're going to face in the future? We future trip and trip up. Okay? Because many of the times when we're future tripping, we don't put God in the future. And I want to let you know that God has the future. And if you put Him first, you can't mess it up. Okay? You can't mess it up. I read a story where a poor man approached a wealthy man and said, "I am richer than you." The wealthy man said, "What do you mean by that?" "I'm a very wealthy man." And the poor man replied, "I have everything I want." Many wealthy people they can never get enough. Number three, if you don't know Him, Jesus, you have a cause to worry. If you don't know Jesus, you have a cause to worry. Because He's the only one who can give you life, not only in this present world, but in the life to come. And so, we have to come to a place, if you want to live a worry-free life, you need to receive Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And number four, if He's not first in your life, you have a cause to worry. So I want to ask you, who is first in your life? What is first in your life? And this message can be for 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. How old are you, Jacob? 6 years old? Or 60 years old or 96-year-olds? Okay. So I want to ask you a question. How many of you would like to live a worry-free life? Do you know what it's going to take for you to do that? Okay, now, again, if you put Jesus first in your life, you can choose to worry or not. Okay, but God's going to catch you. You can worry yourself to the grave, but Jesus is still going to catch you. He's still going to take care of you because His promises are yes and amen to those who put Jesus first. So this morning on your communication card, there's a few questions. And the first question is, throughout my life, I see God has been taking care of me. Throughout my life, I see God has been taking care of me. The second question is, I want to make Jesus, put Him first in my life. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, every one of us want to live a worry-free life. And Lord, the things that You ask us to do, putting You first, it's not hard, it's not difficult. But sometimes it wars against our spirit, it wars against our soul. It wars against our flesh. And so, Father, I come before You today. Lord, I pray for each one of us here that You would become number one. And Lord, that we would put You first in our day, first in our week, first in our finances. Lord, that we would follow You. Because, Lord, You promised us that You would take care of us if we put You first. And Lord, there's some here this morning that know that their other things are first in their lives. And so, Lord, I ask that You would help us, bring us to that place But we surrender all to you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing the invitation. If you want to come to the altar.